Welcome back to the Dog Owners Podcast. We have actually made it to episode 3. Before I introduce my next guest, if you haven't yet found our Instagram, you can follow us using the handle at the Dog Owners Pod. My next guest has over 170,000 TikTok followers and over 6 million TikTok likes, and all for a very good reason. I had the absolute pleasure of speaking to Taylor, the proud owner of Sheldon the Retriever, and of course, Bobby as well, her first love and terrier cross. Taylor has achieved what most people would shy away from when it comes to exposing what it's really like to bring up a puppy, least of all in her early 20s and whilst owning her gorgeous but also reactive second dog, Bobby. I had so much fun talking to Taylor, meeting Sheldon and Bobby, and finding out we have a huge amount in common. I also believe that the experiences and challenges that we discuss are ones that other people can resonate with or learn from. Enjoy part one and make sure to follow on your podcast platform so you don't miss part two. Please tell me from the very beginning how it's Bobby, isn't it?
Bobby.
Came about. Yeah, Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby, my little princess. She came about when I was 17 and I had an ex, I had a boyfriend at the time, and his family, they're like neighbours down the road or whatever, had a litter by accident. Not the family, the dogs. And they basically didn't want them. Like, they weren't even looking after them. Like, they were just, like, giving them away to, like, whoever, like, was, like, first come, first serve, like, 50 quid and you can have it kind of thing.
What were the breeds, sorry?
So it was a, so the, her mum was a Jack Russell crossed with a sausage dog, and her dad was a Yorkshire Terrier crossed with Jack Russell. So she's like a proper mongrel, like she is like mixed, which is why she's got such a long body, because the sausage dog. Yeah, she is. And when I went there, like they were just like kind of, they didn't clean them or anything. They were like, they were just like the litter of like mates, and that were just kind of like not covered in shit, but covered in shit. They hadn't been cleaned or anything, and I was like, this is fucking awful. Like, I can't believe people were like just being able to take these dogs. It was in a really rough area of Exeter as well. So I was like, fuck it. I text my mum that I was living with at the time, and I was like, just to let you know, I'm bringing this dog home next week. And she was like, okay, because like she's very sporadic.
So, you saw your opportunity. You were like, I'm 17, I want a dog.
Yeah, I monopolized on that shit. I'm like, if you're gonna be the way that you are, I'm gonna do something about this. So I got the dog. I'm like, I'm not leaving her in that fucking room anymore. Like, I'm not leaving her in the house anymore. And like, I never even really liked small dogs. I didn't like them, but I was like, I'll never own one. Like, they fucking suck. Small dogs suck because they're always yappy and they are shit. But I was like, nah. And then I just fell in love with her, and she was so nice to me, and she's just my best friend ever since. She's moved everywhere with me.
Oh, okay.
I was with that boyfriend at the time that introduced me to the family that had the litter, and he took Bobby's sister as well. So his family had the sister and I took Bobby, and it was like a completely like separate thing. I didn't get home with him or anything like that. And then literally, like, we didn't last that long. Like, a couple months later, we broke up and I just went on my way. And obviously, Bobby was always mine, so it wasn't even, like, a thing.
Yeah. Okay, so that wasn't, there wasn't any question of, like, co-owning Bobby. There was no...
No
he
way.
Was like, no, it's fine. Yeah, do you know what? That was going to be one of my questions. But then, obviously, I know the dynamics are slightly different. So you're now married. When did you get married? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Almost 2 years ago. 2 years ago in May. So it was 2022 we got married.
Did Bobby play a part?
She came in like after, because she's really nervous. So she didn't go down the aisle or anything. I wanted her to, but like, I know that if I was standing at the altar, she would have been barking to be like, mum.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. And I couldn't have that, and I knew that she'd do it. So she came in after everything, and then while everyone was eating food, she kind of just waltzed around the place, like in and out of everyone's chairs and stuff, and everyone loved it.
Oh, so gorgeous. So when did you meet Gabe?
Literally only a year before we got married. So we met, and then a year later we got married. So it wasn't very long. And like, Bobby's like, she's really fucking good with character. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I know people say this about their dogs, but like, when she hasn't liked someone, like, it has made so much sense why she hasn't liked them, because they've always been a tosser. But like, she's straight away, she's always been a little bit like weird about men, because like my ex was like quite like aggressive, and when he'd get angry he'd smash things, so she was really like wary about that. And then when Gabe came around for the first time, I said to him, I was like, don't like bend down and stroke her and that, like let her just sniff you and kind of just leave her alone. And straight away she was up on the sofa doing meerkat, wagging her tail, she rolled over and showed her belly. And I was like, what the fuck?
I say the same about Lily. I've had a similar instance. Lily does exactly the same thing, but they know. They really do.
They do. Like, dog, you honestly, you've got to trust your dog. Like, you've always got to trust your dog, and it's always been right. Actually, that's not, I shouldn't say that, because if someone broke in, Sheldon would be like, hey. Yeah. Actually, trust your small dog, but don't trust your big dog.
So Gabe and Bobby, it was love at first sight, essentially. They got on really well, no problems.
Yeah.
So Sheldon is how old now? A year and a half?
Yeah, he's a year and a half. Like, it's going fast, you know. Like, when I first got him, I was thinking, like, fuck me, I can't wait till you get older. And now, like, he's just slowly getting there. And I'm like, oh, you're 18 months now, like... I've got an 18-month-old. I'm a mother of an 18-month-old.
It's terrifying. Has Gabe always had dogs? Has he always been, like, quite into dogs?
He grew up with a Leonberger. And for anyone that doesn't know, like, they're basically, like, a massive, like, Newfoundland. They're just, like, mixed with another breed. And they are giant dogs. Like, they... mental. But he grew up with one of those. And now his mum's got another one. Like, so, like... yeah, I've just always been around them. So Sheldon's always been around it. Bobby hates him. He's called Angus. Because Angus doesn't understand his size. So he's trying to play with Bobby, and Bobby's looking at him like, you're genuinely a grizzly bear. Get out of my face now.
And at this point, Sheldon graces us with his presence, and I completely lose my shit.
Oh, look! Oh my... You hit it. Oh! Oh my god! This is what you wanted. He's been laying there.
Why am I like this? I'm so bad. I'm obsessed with other people's dogs. Yep. Mine, I couldn't even, like... I don't even know if you can see.
Oh, stop it!
She's so angry. She's like, what?
She's actually fuming.
Oh, he's so gorgeous. So you both had dogs. Oh, excellent, Conks.
I have to.
I know, Lily is such fiend when it comes to food.
Yeah, like, they just use you for it.
Yeah, 100%. In fact, they look at me, half of the photos that I take, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, my dogs love me. No, there's a fucking carrot stuck behind my ear. Like, it's just food. It's just food. If you like the sound of what you've heard so far, please hit follow now on whichever platform you're listening to the episode on. If you hit follow now, you won't need to spend ages trying to find the podcast for your dog walks. Make life easier for yourself, hit follow, and enjoy the rest of the episode. So you guys have been kind of around dogs. Did you have a dog growing up?
Yeah, so I had a Dalmatian, which I refer to as a Charlie dog, which it actually took everything in my power then to say Dalmatian and not Charlie dog, because my dog was called Charlie and I couldn't say Dalmatian, so it would be Charlie dog. So I've got a toy Dalmatian on my bed, or my spare bed. I don't have it on my actual bed. But I had to keep it. And then I had a Shih Tzu, which my nan then took over instead of us because it hated kids. And then we had like a quick break, but then I've had like English Bull Mastiff Cross St. Bernard's, like we had one of those. Then we had a what are they called? A Malamute. They're basically the bigger version of a Husky, but they're like smaller than they're not smaller than a German Shepherd. They're actually really big. Alaskan Malamutes are like bigger than Huskies.
I mean, that's quite a mix of dogs as well, like Dalmatians, Malamute, Shih Tzu.
Yeah, this is literally why I had to just really, like, capitalise off the fact that Shelley was going to say yes, because, like, I knew that she would. Like, she's had, like, we've had, like, pugs, Frenchies, my sister got a Chihuahua. Like, we, it's like, it's mad. So, obviously, yeah, it's going to be a yes.
It had to happen. So, Sheldon is a year and a half. So, what made you get a bigger dog? I mean, the gorgeous Sheldon, why wouldn't you? But
it's a good question. And, like, I've always wanted a big dog. Like I was saying before, like, Bobby was the first dog that ever made me love small ones. So I always wanted to have that bigger dog. And when me and my husband got married, we said that, like, the lifestyle that we have, like, we can cater to have another dog. And it was more a case of, well, we want children before we're 30, but I don't want to have a puppy at the same time that I have a kid. So I need those years to put into a dog instead of, like, just kind of brushing the training to the side or ever running not having the money for anything. Like, I didn't want to do that for the dog's life. So it was, like, a really good time for us to get a dog. And it was out of a Bernese Mountain Dog, a Labrador / Golden Retriever, or it was going to be like a Leonberger. And obviously the other two are just that little bit more high maintenance. They're just that little bit more dog. And we needed something that just fit everything that we need. Not that those didn't, but Golden Retrievers just did. And yeah, we tried to foster, we tried to adopt.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing one of your videos, actually. Someone had commented, classic, we'll get into comments later, but about adopting, about rescuing. And I know that you did say that you actually had tried, which, again, I could relate to, because we tried fostering a Labrador, and the process is just, it's so much harder than people think.
Completely, yeah. And I'm glad that it is. Like, I'm glad that people can't just go and, like, take a dog that they're just going to end up abusing. Like, I want it to be hard. However, it then does stop people like myself and my husband, who are just so unbelievably capable of giving this dog a loving home, and we fall in the criteria of not being able to because of Bobby. And that was kind of what it boiled down to, was the fact that we had a reactive dog. But we've proven that, you know, you can have a reactive dog that can be trained into being okay with another dog.
Yeah.
What we did. But yeah, I didn't want to go to a breeder first. Like, I really did try, to the point where we even tried to adopt Bloody Bulldog. I was at that point where I was like, I just want to adopt, like, I just want to help a dog in a shelter. Like, that was, like, the main goal. And yeah, we just, they, none of them, we just kept on getting rejected. So Sheldon came at literally a week later after the last rejection. He just then popped up, and it was like the last boy in the litter, and we were like, is this fate?
That's so, Fig was the last of the litter, and she came up literally about 2 weeks after we'd given up looking at trying to rescue.
So after we got rejected for the last time, I was like, right, okay, let's have a look, like, let's do some, like, proper research into, like, the breeder side of things, because I don't want to go to someone that now just breeds a dog and repeatedly breeds a dog, and now I'm like feeding into, like, a new fucking issue, like a new problem.
Yeah.
So we started looking into that. And then it just so happened that same day, my hairdresser posted pictures with Golden Retrievers on her story. And I was like, what the fuck? Whose are these? Are there any left? And
she sign me up.
Please. And she was like, oh my God, like, yes, like, absolutely. Like, it's my friend who's, like, the breeder, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, and then she put me in contact, and we ended up getting Sheldon from my hometown. I'm from Exeter. So we ended up getting Sheldon from Exeter. And and, like, I actually knew of the girl and everything. So again, it was like this, like, fate kind of situation where it all just fell into place. Just let her speak.
Such a little. I actually moved to London with Fig first so that I could do 6 months of training with, because they both, we lived in the countryside, neither of them had been to London before. So I then had to literally strip them from the countryside, bring them to the middle of London. I've only just had Lils in London for about a month now, because she barks at people. She's 8 now, so she's they're at that stage where it's just like they're full cunt mode. They don't care. They don't need to care. They're 8, 9.
What are you going to train them to do? They don't give a fuck. Like, they know you're going to give them the treat. Just give it to them.
So Lily now does this thing where I'll give Fig like some sort of fucking enrichment treat or whatever, like a ball or something. Lily, I give her the toy and she just sits there barking until I give her the food. She's like, I'm not actually going to do anything. Like, just give me the food.
Bobby destroys it. I thought, oh my God, she's so smart. Look at her figuring it out. She just started ripping apart this toy. She was like, I don't need enrichment, you fucking... Yeah. Give me the... You whore.
It's the way that they look at you. It's yeah. I don't know about you, but I have moments where it's just me and like the dogs in whatever situation, and they'll do something and I'll just think, I wish that I'd videoed. Like, it's the side eye they give you when like you tell them like stop being a dick, and they're just like,
why do you know what I'm saying? Sorry, you don't. You're telling me you don't speak English, right?
You can follow us on Instagram using the handle @thedogownerspod. Alternatively, if you can see a tiny star on whichever platform you're using at the moment, if you haven't already, please kindly give us a rating. What made you record his upbringing with you as his mum? Why did you decide to do that?
That is such a good point. Let me go into that. So... when I first went to see him, me and my husband, he was away at the time because he was deployed, and it was just me, and I was like explaining Sheldon to him, and I'm like, oh my God, look at this dog. All the other dogs have been let out of this paddock and everything, and we're meeting the puppies for the first time, and all of them are running over and they're all like licking you and excited to see you, and I'm like, where's Sheldon? And I was like, which one is he? What color is it? She's like, oh, he's the one over there in the flower beds ripping the fucking flowers out. And I'm like, okay, that's charming, obviously,
right?
Love that. So I'm like, this is great, I love him so much. I'm thinking, oh, he's got personality, this is amazing. So I'm just gonna start like filming some like day-to-day things, and when I had to start getting up at like 3 a.m. and like 5, and then again 7, and then I turned out I didn't have sleep for the first like 2.5-3 months. And I was like, I should probably, just for my sanity, remind myself that like this is not nice, in case I decide, oh, I love puppies and dogs, I'm going to get another one. Yeah, so I don't know. I have a love for vlogging. And when I realised that it was going to be quite difficult, which was very early on, because I started the vlog process like 5 days in, it was because I wanted to just show people that actually, like, if you can adopt, although it has different challenges, yes. Know that there's like different things that you've got to do. But like, puppies aren't nice. Like, they just fucking suck. Like, puppies showcase that like dogs really aren't just for Christmas. Then I will be doing a service to at least one dog in a kennel. And that's kind of how it started. It was to try and stop the taboo of raising a dog, because I'm very open, I'm very to the point. Like, I don't care if people judge me, if I've done something wrong or what they think is wrong. It's like, actually, like, I'm a dog mum trying to do this for the first time. Like, I was 17 when I had Bobby, and she was easy as fuck. Like, I never really had to train her. She just listened.
I was just listening to you say about the fact that, you know, it's not easy, and people don't like talking about the fact that it's not easy. They all want to have a perfect dog. They all want to have a dog that loose lead walks and doesn't eat, you know, random shite from the pavements and all this stuff. But in reality, that's not the case. And anyone who owns a dog understands that. There's only a very small, minute amount of people that potentially, if they've just got the one dog or their first dog, their dog is the complete apple of their eye, which... I mean, to be fair, Lily is to me, but she still just winds me up.
And that is literally, it's like having a child. Like, people just really, really don't get it when someone says, like, I bet this is what having a child is like. I know I haven't had my own kid, but Jesus Christ, this is the closest thing to it.
What sort of backlash have you had for sharing your journey, and how have you kind of dealt with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been loads of backlash. Like, there's always, someone's always got something to say. Like, Jesus Christ, if someone's got an opinion, they're going to give it to you. I do OnlyFans, and I'm very successful within that industry. I'm a six-figure creator, and I, like, really do put my life online anyway. So the hate and the backlash really didn't register with me because of that. However, there were things that would kind of irritate me that I realized that I needed to start educating people on. And that was things like the dog stimulation. I did so much research to really understand what I need to do the best for Sheldon so I can have that dog that I want when I'm ready to have kids. And that was things like the stimulation and realizing that actually walking your dog for a long time is not that beneficial to them if they're not also having X, Y, and Z. And I think it was showcasing that, because I talk about walk bans and people would be like, you can't put your dog on a walk ban. That is abuse. And I'm just like, my guy, shut up.
I know. I bet they don't even, they cannot possibly have dogs of their own if they're going to say a walk ban. If you were to say walk ban to me, I'd be like, yeah, too right. Like, they're one of the things, one of the nicest parts of growing up and owning a dog for myself compared to how, and I don't know if you felt like this, compared to how it was when my parents owned a family dog. I can chew. My dogs don't go for walks every day. Yeah. I will take them for a walk 98% of the time. Yes, they do get a few enrichment toys and they tire themselves out, because otherwise what people don't understand is that the more you exercise your dog, the more that your dog expects that same level of exercise.
And of course, like, what do you think you're
exactly. I made a fatal error once by, I was like, right, I'm gonna run, because that's what everyone does now. I'm gonna run and take the dogs with me. I had to carry Lily for the majority of the run because I realized that a pug is not going to run the same as a Labrador and a 5'7" slightly overweight 28-year-old. So I had to carry her. I thought I was going to have an asthma attack. I think, I'm pretty sure someone next to me said, do you need a ventilator, as I was running past them. And Fig was deciding that she just didn't run. She was a Labrador, but she just didn't want to run. But what happened was, at the end of the week, I'd run that much with them. Fig was like, right, 10K, let's go. I was like,
oh. What are we training for? What are we out for?
Yeah. Fig will be able to do the marathon, the half marathon, the London marathon and the Paris marathon and everything else, because I've trained her to be able to do that. But this is what people don't understand, is that you like you said, you end up training an athlete when it's just completely unnecessary. You need to tap into their nature,
what their drive is. Like, Bobby's a wrestler. Exactly. that's what her breed is. Like, that's what they're trained for. And Sheldon, he's a retriever, so what is he gonna prefer to do, pull me around on a lead and try and decide where to go, or do some dummy training with his dummy that we do with gun dogs, like, stuff? And, like, he's so much more tired after an hour and a half of gun dog training than he is with the 45 minute walk up a hill. Like, he just is. And, like, you need to really hone in on what your dog loves to do. And I'm not a dog trainer, but this is what I've learned from dog trainers.
Because that's the thing. I'm exactly the same. I always say I'm not a dog trainer. I get things wrong on a daily basis, even though I've had a dog for 8 years and I've now got Fig, and they're two different breeds, and I've grown up with dogs. Because we love our dogs, because we're invested in our dogs, we go the extra mile with training, whatever. So Fig, exactly the same. Gun dog training, we did that with a couple of different people. We ended up doing, obviously, the standard puppy classes, and I was looking for adolescent classes, but I'm not sure anyone's actually going to have her at this stage because she's a right dick. And it's the same with Lily is crossed with a Jack Russell, so she has that drive. So the moment I get a small squeaky ball out, she thinks it's Christmas and her birthday all in one, literally, because that's what they're bred to do. You were saying you were getting backlash because people didn't understand what the walk bans were.
Yeah, literally, like, and people don't want to listen. Like, people just don't want to listen to, like, any kind of rule that you implement and put in place. And a walk ban to me doesn't mean that the dog's not going out for a week and he's locked in his crate. It just means that he's got a really structured walk, and if he doesn't perform to the way that I need him to because he is completely destroying his training, then we won't leave the garden. If he does show improvement, then we will go to the front garden, and then we'll go to the immediate local area. But people just assume that walk ban means walk ban. It's like, no, it means that he's in real proper training for the period of time that he just needs it. And that's just been, I think that's just been like the course of the whole time that we've been doing this. I had hate right at the beginning, the very first video that I ever, ever posted on Sheldon's account, because people were saying, where's Bobby? You've left Bobby in the car when I went to go pick up Sheldon. My opinion about dogs being left in the car is, if it's not hot, the car is okay. If the car is safe, the car is okay. If it's a hot summer's day, don't leave your dog in the fucking car. But if it's winter, I actually need to leave a blanket in the car so the dogs don't get cold.
Yeah.
The car isn't the problem. The situation is the problem. Yeah. And people just jump.
Yeah, you're the problem.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like, Bobby and Sheldon have both been left in the car before, but the circumstances made it very safe for them to be in there.
I just think people just don't understand. And you're so, I mean, I want to say brave, but I don't know if that sounds condescending, but it's, I definitely second guess whether this was going to be a good idea for me to be able to put out there just how much of a shit dog mum I am on various occasions. But I so wanted something that I could relate to, like you done with the TikToks. I wanted to hear about other people and their stories and what it's actually really like. But I didn't, you know, in terms of like when you're with family and friends, that's one thing, but I still feel as though people hold back because they don't want you to know, whether it is family and friends or whether it is, you know, the general public or whatever. They don't want you to know how shit that their dog is sometimes, because then you feel like it's, I don't know, maybe I'm talking for, you know, dog parents, but I feel as though there's a level of guilt that you feel. You feel as though you've let them down if they've behaved badly, and that's not always the case.
Yeah, no, completely. And I think you're not speaking for them, because like I've had these comments, and like another reason, there's a multitude of reasons why I started the account, but there's more reasons why I continued it. And a lot of those were because people were like, this makes me feel so seen, this makes me feel less alone, and like I was so embarrassed about this, I don't feel embarrassed anymore. And like that's what talking about this sort of stuff does, because like you're right, family and friends, they will not talk about the shit stuff that their dog does. And then I will turn up to the party and I'll be like, sorry, I'm late. Sheldon ripped up my pants that I was going to wear and I had none fresh. Like, I'll just say it. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, my dog's done that the other day as well. And then they just feel this release. And it's like, you know what? My dog's a bit of a dickhead too. So... there was no one at the door.
I'm amazed Lily didn't just bark at that. I feel like they have like a level of telepathy as well, Jack Russells, like small breeds. They just are so angry. Like when I leave, literally the first thing I do is I open the door. I'm now having to do this thing where I open the front door, I say quiet, and then I give them a treat before they've even had a fart in the wind, because the first thing that Lily will do is she will bark. I'll open the door and she'll just start barking. She's like, come on, Ned. Like literally just
shut off now. Get in my, I'm taking the rubbish out, no one's there.
And there's like loads of school children just on their way to school, and like all these harmless people, you know, riding a bike, and Lily's just like, you what? And I'm like, oh, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing? There's just no need.
Up on the wrong side of the bed again.
Again. And then I'm sure Sheldon will do the same thing. It's just the way that Fig like looks at Lily and she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, sometimes because he's still so impressionable, he'll sometimes bark as well, just to be like, what, who is it? Who's at the door?
Yeah.
Like he'll see them and he'll be like super happy, and Bobby will still be like, come on then.
It's funny you say that, Sheldon being impressionable. So Fig might be a little bit old. She's just coming up to two.
Yes.
And again, one of the reasons why I moved to London with Fig for the first 6 months was because Fig was so impressionable with Lily. And they do, that's what, again, one of the things, if I, you know, people have asked me, was there anything that you weren't prepared for? I mean, there was fucking loads I wasn't prepared for. But one of the main things was owning two dogs, and how I have the audacity to think that a Labrador isn't going to copy a pug because it's a different breed. So the moment Lily was barking, in fact, Lily didn't even, it got to the stage where Lily didn't even have to bark. She'd just have to move her tail in a different direction and Fig would pick up on it and she'd start barking. And the problem is that when you've got, I mean, Fig's 25, 30 kilograms, their barks are a lot more intimidating. Sheldon, who is not going to hurt a fly, you know, and the same for Fig, but their barks, they sound a lot more aggressive. Yeah. So yeah, that was the reason why I took Fig out. But I had the opportunity to have them separately. How have you found trying to train kind of both essentially at the same time?
Yeah, so I just wanted to die, really. Sometimes I'm just like, I'll literally just look at them both and I'll just be like, oh, like, you fucking suck. Like, everything sucks. Like, why have I done this to myself? Like, and it's only me to blame. And obviously, I'm so against shelters. Yeah. And I understand that everyone has different situations. And sometimes dogs have to go into shelters. But also, fuck that narrative. Keep your dog out of shelters and deal with it. If I can deal with it, like, keep your dog. And that's how I have felt. And I just, it's actually made me more irritated that dogs end up in shelters because people...
Yeah.
Can't deal with it, but more than anything, don't want to deal with it. And
yeah,
I just, yeah, the process has been awful. And because my husband's been deployed so much, like throughout this last year and a half of having Sheldon, I've done almost all of it by myself.
Yeah.
And especially the first 3 months, the reason why I was so sleep deprived is because he was alone at that point, and then he'd come back,
yeah.
And Sheldon would be like, "Oh, Dad, like
the best thing,
and like look how trained I am. I can sit," and he would be like, "Wow."
I always used to love the fact that my ex would be like, I've taught her something new, how to wait at the bottom of the stairs before I carry the tea up," and I'm thinking, bitch, I've been teaching her that for so long and now you think that you've done it. Okay,
I've not reinvented the wheel here, my guy. Like, this is not you. So when I first met my husband, I lived by myself in a bungalow in Exeter, and I think it's really helped that since we got married, we moved into a bigger house and the dogs were able to be separated with a stair gate. So okay. Sheldon has always been crate trained. He's always slept in his crate. And Bobby has just always slept in my bedroom. The bungalow was so small,
yeah.
Like it was like a studio bungalow. So there wouldn't have been anywhere else to go anyway. So for three years of her life, there was no choice. The others, it's because I didn't know dog training and I didn't realize that she should probably have been crate trained. So she's
Lils is exactly the same. It's one of those things where you start. You've got the first dog, you know where you went wrong, so you're going to try extra hard with the second dog, but you can't reverse that. Like, one of the other things is Lils never was in it, she never stayed in a crate at all. I've got a picture of her trying to chew through the bars. I'm sure that's potentially with Sheldon why you, like, I was so insistent on Fig being crate trained, because I was like, I'm not going through this shit again. I'm not having a 30 kilogram dog, you know, being a complete cock block. I need my space as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, yeah, that's literally like with Sheldon, it was that. It was the whole, I need my space. Bobby needs her space because she hasn't asked
for
a brother. Like, I'm bringing this in. Like, I need to learn and understand what she's going to need just as much as what I am. And yeah, like I remember trying to crate train her. I was like, well, Sheldon being crate trained, I might as well suffer once instead of at different times and do it twice. And I bought her a travel crate, and I woke up in the morning and she was out of it. And I was like, what the hell? I didn't do it up properly. And I had a look and she just chewed through the crate. And I was like, oh, probably just like, she can stay out. She'll be fine. So now we just deal with it.
And they're so small as well. I mean, at least with Bobby, she's not a flat-nosed breed, is she? There have been a couple of occasions where her snoring has made me realise that I should definitely do something with her. Again, I could go off on a completely different tangent with owning two dogs. But whilst we're on the topic, how did you go through the motions of owning two dogs, especially when Sheldon was a puppy? Because I definitely had that initial mum guilt, which... came in waves. And I know, for example, Vicky Patterson, when she had her second dog, we were chatting over the fact that there is that unspoken mum guilt with your firstborn when you suddenly have a mini terror
for want of a better word. And there's like, and there's no going back at that stage either.
I feel like it is, again, she's probably the only, her and maybe Olivia Atwood,
yes,
are the only people that I really see that discuss, take the time out of their days to discuss owning dogs. Adolescent stages as well, puppy stages, rescuing. I don't know, I off the top of my head, there isn't anyone else that I really can resonate with, other than obviously like yourself and other people that have claimed fame through TikTok or social media.
Yeah, sure. Honestly, like, I had to fight Sheldon when I filmed with Olivia Atwood, and I had to fight Sheldon to not get his muddy paws over her grey joggers. And that is something that I think about, that lives rent free in my head. And I just think to myself, like, why, like, out of every person, Sheldon, in this whole fucking world that you piss off, like, can you just, on occasion, act accordingly? But equally, like, sorry, if you want to meet Sheldon, you've got to understand that, like, this is going to happen. But yeah, like, yeah, you're right, like, Ricky and Olivia, like, they are, like, those people that really do advocate for being able to, like, foster a dog or adopt a dog. And then you've got Faye Winter. She does so much for Golden Retrievers and the guide dogs. So she's amazing as well. But there definitely needs to be more of it. Like, there definitely needs to be more of it.
Yeah.
I think the more accounts like mine that talk about subjects and make it really, you know, like, easy to talk about, and you doing this podcast, I think that will give the confidence to, like, the celebrities that think they have a lot to lose but will realize that it's okay to talk about this.
There is so much pressure for people, especially our age, and, you know, like I said, between 24-35, to have children, for example, especially because now your classes are frigging geriatric at, like, age, is it 35 or something like that? It's just obscene. So every week I feel like there are statistics that are coming out saying that the younger generations are basically choosing to get dogs over having children. And that is fantastic, and I love that statistic. I mean, I've nothing against children, and I'm definitely planning on having them if I can in the future. But the thing with owning dogs is, like you said, not everyone is not cut out for it, but it's so easy to put your hands up and say, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, it's too difficult, because people don't realize how difficult it is. They really don't. And especially having that level of responsibility at such a young age, which we are young, you know, to have that level of responsibility, and sometimes you end up doing it on your own, things don't work out in relationships. If we can put stuff out there, like we are for TikTok or podcasts, or, you know, celebrities or whatever doing their bit, then potentially people decide that actually I am going to keep hold of my dog, put in the extra effort of training, figure out what's going wrong. So, sorry, going back to, how did you deal with mum guilt and getting a second dog? Did you go through that phase?
Yeah, I think I did. I don't think I did. Like, I did. Like, I definitely, I vlogged it. I don't know how, like, much I vlogged of me being emotional, but I do remember where, like, there'd be a couple of occasions where I did have my phone, like, literally in my hand as I'd already started crying, and I was like, I can record this. But there'd be so many times where it would have been really inauthentic, so I'd have cried, and then, like, the tears, like, I'd have had my moment, and then it's like, well, I'm not going to pretend to cry and, like, re-record or anything, because that's not authentic. So, like, I do know that I've put a couple of these things in my videos, but I haven't spoke that much about mum guilt. And I think that's just because I was just surviving at that point. But looking back at it, I think some of the emotions that came up for me were the, you know, the concept of fucking hell, like, what have I done? Like, I don't have the capacity, like, to be able to deal with this. And then also, Bobby's going to have to deal with it. And then there was that other side where it was like, well, Bobby's just my shadow. She still sleeps with me. Like, I give her the same amount of love, the same amount of treats. Like, she gets... the same things. I think she's just gonna have to go through this uncomfortable period. So I don't think the mum guilt lasted for that long, and I think it's just because I've got a really pragmatic mindset about things, and it's, well, we either get through this together or one of you can just be unhappy, but we're working as a family.
100%. I could not agree more. I felt exactly the same. I mean, stupidly, and I say stupidly, and I feel like people might listen to this and think, oh, I actually felt the same. Initially, it was, oh, Lily needs a friend. No, she fucking doesn't. No,
she doesn't. I was like, oh, Lily needs a friend. Because so my parents have a reactive yellow Labrador and they would get on so well. And I loved seeing them together and I loved seeing them play. And it was so lovely. And we'd always wanted a larger dog. And ours was between a Doberman or a Labrador. So my family had always had Labs. His family had always had Dobermans. I wasn't against Dobermans at all. I think they're fantastic. I love them. I think they're just so majestic.
They are.
However, I haven't trained, knowing full well that I would do the majority of the training. I didn't have any experience with Dobermans. Yeah. And then this litter came up and Fig was the last one. So I was like, it just kind of makes sense. We were actually looking for a male, but yeah, she was the last female in the litter. So we went with her. But I felt as though Lily needed a friend. And then Fig came along and Lily was like, what have you done? Like, we were a perfect little family. Why would you think I would need this thing in my life?
I asked for this. I just simply remember never fucking mentioning this. This topic.
But I don't know about Bobby, but Lily has definitely had like her own back on various occasions. So like she'll go in and steal a bit of food without Fig knowing, or like she'll do something on the sly, or like Lily will be the first one to get onto the bed because she knows that she'll be the first one to like cuddle up with me, and she'll just be like, "Wee," like that to Fig.
That is exactly what Bobby does. Like, Bobby will even go to the extent, she doesn't really do it much anymore, however she will attempt it, but she'll go out of her way to get out of her bed, go to Sheldon's bed, and take out of his mouth whatever it is that he's got. Because she knows that he will not do anything because he doesn't care that much. And then that's why I've never videoed it, because like I won't allow that to happen. So I don't have time to video that. And then I'll be like, I'll give it back to Sheldon. And I'll be like, Poppy. And she'll look at me and go back to her bed. She's like, what? Like, what? And I'm like, she hasn't got what he's got. It's that she's finished it before him.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and please make sure to join Taylor's 81,000 followers on Instagram, where you can enjoy her content and up-and-coming news. Use the handle _lifeoftaylor to follow Sheldon's content on Instagram. If you aren't already, use the handle _sheldontheretriever. Enjoy Sheldon's stories on TikTok and you will not be disappointed. You can follow us using the handle @thedogownerspod. If you haven't already, please kindly give us a rating.